This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode.
My next thing I was going to say, Bruce, was I've got this. What? Oh, g'day, Bruce. You've joined us. I started without you, mate. You're 10 minutes late to getting to start to call me up, so I started without you. I'm halfway through, dude.
Excellent. Excellent.
Welcome to the party.
It's a shame that I'm the one with the record button.
What? No, I hit record on this.
Right.
Doesn't that work? There's a big red button that says record.
Yeah.
Then hit the any key.
Anyway, welcome to episode 277, folks. As you can imagine. As you can imagine, I was late this week.
You've got all the power, haven't you?
I knew Glyn was going to hit me with that the minute I came on. How have you been?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been on time myself from you.
Nice.
I've been all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, had cool. A week off. Yeah, for my hard life.
Another so, one?
Yeah, well, last week, because you know, we recorded last week, remember, yeah. And this is this week.
Yeah.
It was the week off, because I said I wasn't working the coming weekend. But I've been working. I have been working hard. I had an Arab Spring clean.
What's that?
Well, you know what the Arab Spring is.
No, I've heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
It was the uprising in Egypt and everything else. Oh, okay. You know, the coups and all stuff.
Right.
But that only happens like once every 50 years or so. Yeah. I had an Arab Spring clean. I cleaned the kitchen for the first time in who knows how many years.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I went into cupboards in this house.
Yeah.
That's had stuff since the day we moved in 15 odd years ago. We'll just put that box there. Because it moved for 15 years.
Wow, and hasn't been unpacked.
No, well, there was stuff like it was spare tiles, you know, for the house, but then we built the house. So spare tiles for like the kitchen as an example, but we ripped those up years ago and put wood down.
Right.
But we've still got the spare tiles in the same cupboard 15 years later. So, because we're looking at doing some renovations, so I thought I'd better, you know.
Oh, okay.
Do some stuff. And get organised because you know, when people come in to quote and stuff, you've got to have a reasonably semblance of order for them. So I spent almost 10 hours in the kitchen yesterday.
10 hours?
Anything. Yeah, and didn't cook anything. I emptied every single drawer, cleaned every single thing, emptied the fridge, defrosted the freezer, emptied the pantry, resorted absolutely through. Oh, went through the expiry dates and everything.
Wow. So what inspired this?
Well, we're doing some renovations.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get everything in order, so I know. Yeah, you know, it's easy to measure stuff when there's not stuff in the way, and it's easier to get visual concepts when there's not clutter around.
Yeah,
so.
True.
So I mean, yesterday because I've got my jawbone up that measures how many steps I take. Yesterday, I stepped 21,000 steps yesterday.
Wow.
Which is like, I think, like 17 kilometres or 10 miles, give or take, you know. But 9¾ of those miles or 16 of those 17 kilometres was in the kitchen back and forth. I was exhausted. I did myself in. I was absolutely exhausted.
Wow.
So anyway, so yeah. So I've been busy even on my week off. Yeah, in fact, probably busier than my working week.
Excellent.
So yeah, and but me and Mr. Oakley, we went to the zoo today to have a little wander around the zoo.
Okay.
Which was that's the only photos shooting I've been doing for the weekend. It was a tough day. It was a pretty hot day down, a reasonably hot day for spring down here in Melbourne. It was very high 20s.
Yep.
80s.
Beautiful weather. Yep.
Yeah, beautiful weather, but hot when you're standing in the baking sun all day long, a few hours they were there. So it was pretty warm. So the animals weren't necessarily in the mood for frolic
and
fun.
Yep.
So the shooting opportunities were limited at the zoo today.
Right.
I did get a great iPhone shot.
Okay.
Of a lemur.
Oh, yes, which is a type of monkey?
Yeah, with a big, long, stripy tail.
Yeah, right.
But get this, he fills the entire frame. Yeah, with an iPhone, like
that's pretty good.
I'm 4 inches away from him.
I was going to say, he must have been close.
And there's no bars. It's like we have a walk-through enclosure where they can just walk along next to you.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm just sitting, I'm just leaning against the fence, and he's just sitting next to me.
Wow.
Having a bit of a chat.
You know? That's awesome.
Yeah. Not you should, but you could if you need to just reach out and just touch him. You know?
Yeah, right.
So they're obviously fairly gentle things in the wild.
Yeah, if you don't mind catching a dose of rabies or something.
Yeah, that's But yeah, what's that between friends? Yeah. So yeah, that was a bit of fun. Yeah, just wandering around the zoo and got a moderately okay photograph of a baby crocodile, which is what I did for my my challenge.
Did you smile at it?
No, that's why it looked happy because yeah. the challenge was accepted for the 5 black and white photos that I was in a quandary about last week.
Yep,
and I wasn't going to do it. Thanks, Dave.
Right.
But then I got challenged again today.
I
better put this out of its misery before it starts to haunt me. Right. And as I put in the podcast, I'm only going to nominate 1 person, not 5.
Yeah.
And that one person's you.
Yes.
Because I figured we needed something to talk about in the podcast.
Yeah.
So my photo I put today was the black and white photo of a little baby croc at the zoo today.
Right.
So, and you put up a lovely mauve and white photograph, I see.
Yes.
Yes, I hadn't considered doing the black and white challenge, but you changed something.
It's with a twist.
It's got
with
black
a twist of mauve.
It's got black in it.
It's a preset that I came up with in Lightroom and stored because I liked the look of it, and it's not a great deviation off black. It's just a subtle deviation.
It's a lovely lavender, I would say.
That's you, mate.
That might make you want to delete that. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I sometimes play with these with blues and with purples and these greens from time to time.
Yeah,
with these with odd tints on black and white, and sometimes it can be very effective. Then there's photos like yours, and.
That's harsh.
Well, okay. What does the purple add to it?
I don't know, man. It's subjective. I like it.
Yeah, but we're talking about me, and I don't accept your subjectivity.
Well, tough.
but okay. Did you try it in black and white first, and then?
Yeah. Yes, I went to black and white, and then yes. I thought I wouldn't mind a bit of a tint on this. And so I raised the slider to stupid levels, and then I...
what have I done?
and then I went, and dragged the actual colour slider back and forth and found the tint that I liked, and then, as in the colour that I liked, and then I dropped the level of the tint right back down to about 8%. So it's only very subtle. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I crank the clarity to full bore.
Oh, yes.
So, you need to. And that's
modern photography. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it.
Hmm.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Well, each to their own, as they say.
Yep. And the next 4 are going to look just like it.
All purple. All purple.
Something like that.
Whatever floats your boat.
That's right.
Yeah. My black and white was actually done in camera.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm actually taking the challenge to the literal. Not really. I already got the shot before I decided, but I do like shooting black and white. I have my own personal preset black and white in my camera.
Yeah.
With my own cut filtration system and contrast settings and everything else as a custom setting black and white.
This is in your iPhone.
No, this is actually done. That photo is actually taken with me. With a
real okay,
camera.
Right, cool.
So I have customized black and white on my Canon.
Yep.
Because I like the I like the tone it comes out with. It's hard to replicate. So straight out of camera, black and white.
Cool.
That's good.
Nice.
So we got much to talk about this week.
Oh, I've only got 4 things on my list.
4 things. Well, let's do yours first.
Okay, then. All right, so I'm
itching to talk about this HDR stuff that you've been going on about all week. I absolutely love. You've seen this HDR stuff that you've finally fallen in love with.
No, I haven't.
And
I didn't say that was why I'd put it in there at all.
So the
first one I came up with, I picked because I was thinking of you.
Really?
Yeah. This was on digital photography school, and it was 6 photography projects to do with your kids.
Oh.
Now, not that you lack for any, you know, inspiration for things to do with
kids. There's severe lackage.
So, yeah, so there was 6 ideas there for things to do with your kids related to photography, and I thought,
in my former life, using photo collage, I used to get them to cut out photos. That's kind of fun. Yeah. Happy accidents. Get out in the midst of perfection, practice creative composition with this one. Spend an afternoon snapping photos without using the viewfinder. Wow. Okay. Next, family treasures. Time capsule. Okay. Next, gratitude channel. Okay. Next, neighborhood. Next, photo. Anyway. So that was terrific.
Right.
I'm fully inspired. Yes? You know? Inspired never to look at that bucket in any depth.
Fantastic.
You do find some crap, don't you? Yeah, right. Oh, unless that was nominated by a listener, then thank you very much. That's good. I'll make sure I peruse that in my own time later.
Yeah. No, it was my crap.
Okay. It was tongue in cheek, wasn't it?
Apparently. Next one was on DIYphotography.net. And again, I was thinking of you. The Yong Nuo's YN.
You've had a lot of thinking about me this week. You poor bugger.
Yeah, exactly.
There's special places with little sort of couches you can lay on and talk to people about that, you know?
Yeah.
Also, there's a Yong, however you pronounce it.
Yong Nuo.
600 EXRT clone.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty darn identical, really.
I mean, do you? I'm guessing you've probably got the Canon 600
EXRT. No, I hate them.
Oh, what do you use?
I'll use any old cheap piece of crap flash.
Oh, okay.
For my on-camera flash, for the once in an absolute screaming blue fit I'd ever use on camera.
Yep.
I use a 580 or a 430, or I've got 2 580s and a 430, whatever comes to hand. But the 600 is just technology gone berserk. Yeah, and you're paying for all this TTL off camera flash stuff. That just learn how to do it properly. It'd make it a lot easier and save you a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
But do they give you an idea? Canon strobe. See on this website saying Canon strobe sells for about $500. Well, here it's about $700.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit more here.
It's a significant sum. Did I figure out how much this one? About a third the price.
That's a bloody lot for a speed light.
It is. When you can
can almost go and buy a bloody good, you know, camera head with a wireless trigger for that.
A camera head?
A studio head.
No, you can't.
You
can buy a two head kit.
Right.
For that price.
Okay.
So Elenchrom have like a 2-head kit with their Skyport trigger, which is just awesome because you can power your flashes up independently.
Yep.
Stands and umbrellas and a case for like $7.99.
Yeah, right.
For a 2-head kit. Yeah, of course it's not portable. You can't take it out in the wilderness with you.
Well, it's kind of so portable. Easily.
Yeah, power wise, the lights are light, but the generator kind of tends to weigh a bit.
Oh, so they don't have a battery pack.
Well, not one that's going to be economically affordable.
Right.
You know, you're not going to spend $2,000 on your battery to go with your $700 lights. Right. Kind of just a bit mad.
Right.
This is, I don't know how on earth they get away with doing this Yong Nuo without being sued.
I know. The layout is almost identical. Almost
exactly. The model number is exactly the same, except it's got YN in the front. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same model number.
Yeah.
The buttons are all in the same spot. The icons are the same.
Yeah.
And it's even compatible with Canon's triggering system.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how they get away with it. Yeah.
I guess it's a cultural thing. Like I've read somewhere that I can't remember if it was China specifically or if it was just Asian countries in general, that they have a different cultural mindset towards knockoffs than what we do in the West. To them, if you can pull off you know, a replica of somebody else's work to such a degree that it's almost indistinguishable from the original, then that's considered a talent and you are, you know, respected for it.
Yeah.
Even though it's a blatant lawyers. Ripoff.
Hey? Except by lawyers. But here's the thing, though.
See, well, that's what I'm saying. But in those countries, it's acceptable.
But those countries are also making the original.
Well, that's why I think they probably have not been sued out of existence, because it's all within the cultural norm of where
they, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It is very, to our Western ideas, it is very strange. But there
funny,
you go.
Funny stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, links will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to have a look at that.
Yeah, don't go to the first one.
All right, my next one was...
even if you've got kids.
Right.
So your next one.
Back to digital photography school again. And this was a collection of photos that make a splash. And these were all just images with, you know, water in them in
flashy
some
stuff on it. Yeah.
Shape or form. Well, actually, not all water. There's kitty cat with a cup of tea there. But, yeah, just some really good images there. I like the motorcyclist, the off-road motorcyclist. I don't know if you looked at any of the images.
I haven't seen it. I'm just going through them for the first time.
Right. Yeah, so there's a few.
The kids chasing the goose through the water is pretty darn good.
Yes.
It's the guy above the motorbike.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the motorbike's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're all good. Yeah.
There's some that border on photo illustration rather than
exactly
photography. Yeah.
I know that dolphin jumping through out of the water over the sunset looks very realistic to me. It's just so super realistic.
Yeah. But yeah, there's some good ones there. I like the one, there's a black and white of a push bike riding in the rain. I don't know if you've got down to that yet. Great leading lines of the water.
Oh yes, yeah, that's great.
Splashing up, and the bike is just a blur about to disappear out of the top right hand corner of the frame. Which I like that shot.
That's good. It's a good shot.
Yeah,
it's got interest.
It does. It does.
I'm actually, well, how did he freeze the water but still have the movement of the motorbike?
The push bike.
The push bike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy because you get the water on it's before it starts to fall. Cause it's got to stop before it comes down.
That's right. Timing.
Good stuff. No, that's a good shot.
Yeah.
The bear leaping through the water is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Knowing just how hard a shot like that is to go. The one, the dragonfly hanging off for dear life of a vain storm bubble. That's brilliant. I don't care if it's fake. It's great.
Yeah. Some good stuff in there. Yeah. All right. Which brings us to the final thing I had on my list. And this was from the photoargus.com. And it was...
Is this one you personally chose?
Yes, it is one I personally chose. 50 incredible...
I just need to clarify that before we launch into it, that's all.
50 incredible examples of HDR photography. So I was skeptical.
As you should.
Yeah. So I loaded it up and thought, oh, I'll have a scroll through here. And there were actually a couple that I thought worked quite well.
Really?
Yeah. You disagree?
You
didn't see anything there and that you thought was all right? Just below the red Chevy, there's a picture of some people on a street. And the majority of the street is or would have been in shadow at the time the shot was taken. You can tell just by the way the light's falling further down the street. And so clearly HDR was used to bring detail out in that portion of the street, which is in shadow, but it didn't look as garish as some of the other images in this collection. And for that, I thought it was an acceptable use of HDR.
Poppycock.
Okay. Why?
You know, I've got nothing against HDR. You're the one trying to justify this. It's like, but first up,
look, the one below it is horrid.
There's nothing detailed. I mean, it's not the sky is
close to blown out, but not.
So we don't know what the light intensity was like. Okay, so what we're dealing with. Mm. So how dark the blacks were. But there's a couple of things. First up, there's probably nothing you couldn't pull out of a RAW file in that dark area because it's not that bright. It's just a little bit of detail.
Okay.
Secondly, see the guy walking off with a box in his hand.
Yes.
What do you see at his feet?
Shadow.
Do you? Oh, you just, yeah, it's one shadow. Oh, bugger. I thought the second one was, I just realized it's the shadow from the box. I thought it was a bit of light bouncing off. Now, but look at the wall that's in front of him. What's in front of him?
Sorry, when you say in front of him?
The wall that he's walking up towards, what? A big what? Building.
Yeah.
A building, Bruce. A big building.
A big building. He's walking towards a big building.
What color is that building, Bruce? What color is it?
Oh, it's a grayish color.
What color is it?
Grayish.
Grayish white. Whitish. So what does that do? That reflects, doesn't it? That's reflecting any light onto the other side of the road as well anyway. I don't think there's anything there that couldn't be done just with a moderately reasonably exposed RAW file.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't see any real need for HDR. The point I'm making is HDR for HDR's sake.
Yeah.
Or is it actually necessary to achieve the shot? I don't think it's necessary to achieve the shot, therefore you don't need to do it. Yeah, show me where it makes the photograph. What I'm saying is, show me where the technique makes the photograph work where it wouldn't have been possible otherwise.
Okay, well, without having the RAW file, we will never know the answer to that.
Yeah, but you've got to look at the shot and say, well, yeah, if he's exposed this bit reasonably well, that bit should be okay. You know, if he's got the building okay, it can't be, you know, and so, unless it's massively intense. It does not look. It's late afternoon sun, because you can tell by the length of the shadows.
Yep.
It's low down light, so he's not battling bright, hard middle of the day. The shadows look really soft. Yeah, there's a real softness to the light anyway. I said, show me a shot where HDR makes the shot work that would have been impossible using just traditional shooting techniques.
Okay.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the shot. It's a lovely shot, but I just don't think it's an example of an amazing HDR.
No.
It's the best of the bad bunch so far, because the rest are atrocious examples.
Actually. Yes.
So let's keep on going down. You got the
there's nothing else.
You've got the streetcar named Pathetic. Love those ones of Paris, fabulous. No. 50 examples. Oh, that one of the Greek church or Orthodox church or whatever, that's very unorthodox. It looks terrible.
Oh, the blue one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. It's diabolically bad. The one below it, the guy jumping in the push bike.
Yep.
Diabolically bad.
Both of which have got completely blown out skies.
Yeah, it's bad. Now, go a couple of down. I'll go the tree in the water.
Yep.
Nice. That is not overtly HDR looking.
No.
So that's quite nicely done. Now, remember, most of the sun is being blocked by that cloud. So it's very diffuse light. But it's handling the clipping and the bright clouds off to the left and bringing some nice detail out of the rays.
Yep.
So I'll give it a good shot.
A couple of brownie points, shots. Yeah.
London, terrible. Terrible. The umbrella in the street, no need for HDR there.
No.
No, next one down. Next one,
and we're done.
Some of it is just...
Oh, no, we're not. Yeah.
There's a feather on some rocky beach. If you took away the sky and the water... So just put your hand over that.
Yeah.
Just look at the feathers and the rocks.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a good shot.
Yeah.
Include the sky and the water kills it. Doesn't it? Because so you've got great tonal range, great texture, which is,
yep.
Now remember, HDR is not just about bringing out tonal range, but it does bring out texture as well. So these rocks, it really, really gives these pebbles and rocks great texture and almost a tangible feel to it. It's really bringing out the detail and the feather. You feel you could riffle that feather with your fingers.
Mm. Yep.
But as soon as you include that sky, it kills the shot because it's so garish and horrible.
Yep.
And frankly, not necessary for the shot.
No.
It doesn't add to the photograph to have that there.
No.
I have to laugh when I say this. In my humble opinion. Now, that would make a great Instagram shot because it's got to be square. You chop the top off. you see, that bottom half, that is a great use of HDR.
Yep.
I think that's been really well done.
Yep. The balanced rocks are horrible.
Oh.
The snowy one below is just that.
That's
just horrid.
And the abandoned building, that's terrific. Oh, the library, that just so needed it. If any of you people who submitted to this thing, it's just an opinion. just because we can doesn't mean we should. Now, there's a curving staircase down underneath some atrocity of water. Now, very, very HDR, obviously HDR, very Trey Ratcliffe kind of HDR looking. But there's, it's a shot that does need HDR to bring detail out, so you can see why that technique's been used.
Why it was done,
it would look great printed on velvet.
On velvet?
You know, like the 70s, you know, where they had those it's got some cool stuff going on in the shot. You know, I reckon printed out, maybe on, it could look okay.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not of the shots we've seen, it's in the better realm of them.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're almost done.
The one below it, I'm inclined to like a little bit.
The sunset? Yeah, look.
With the beach path.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty.
Simply because I know from having done enough beach shots at sunset to know that if you'd been there, that path would have looked really dark.
Yeah, yeah. So she's handled the noise, the colour, the everything else pretty. The top centimetre of the sky is a problem for me.
Yes.
But the rest of it's really well done, so I'll agree with you there for sure. I think that's just about. Click. There goes the link. Gone.
What's the Steve Jobs in drag with a lute? What's what's that all about?
That is one of the more unusual shots in the bunch, isn't it? Gosh.
That is, yeah, okay.
Oh, that left leg just looks very from the knee down to like mid calf. There's something wrong with that man.
Okay.
No, well, you've added some wonderful humour to the show. Yeah, of course, yeah. Still, you know, we take this stuff seriously. So if someone can find some good HDR, once again, I have no problem with HDR. I think it's a fantastic tool that we have available to us.
Yeah, but I just see so little of it done well.
Yeah, that's it.
I keep saying the same thing.
Yeah, but I guess that's art. Look at painting. You get these people who paint in all sorts of different. Yeah, styles and qualities and stuff that, just as we don't like it doesn't mean it's, we don't have to like it.
That's right.
As much as I think you should all listen to us and especially me and believe everything I say is gospel, but no.
All right, what do you got on your list?
Nothing.
Oh, good. We're done.
No, I've got a couple of things.
Oh, okay.
I noticed this week, and I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but that Kodak's just got a new chief marketing officer just started for them. And his job is to reinvigorate the brand and bring it back up.
Right.
So, yeah.
To reinvigorate the brand of Kodak.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, there's good history there to work with.
Guess what company he came from, Bruce?
Which company did he come from?
Nokia.
Forgive my mirth.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you take the I and the N off Nokia and put a D in there and he's hardly changed letters. He's spun them around a bit. He's gone from Nokia to Kodak. He's gone from one rapidly sinking
exactly.
It's like, really? You couldn't have got someone, I don't know, from maybe a successful company to run yours.
Wow.
The thing is, he actually is a photographer. He used to be a photographer. He's been exhibited worldwide, apparently. So he's got a bit of passion for the arts, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know what on earth he's going to be trying to sell.
Yeah.
So, now, speaking of HDR, as we were, we're going to put a link into some photos I found from DP Review on a town called Coleman's Kop.
In Namibia.
Now, some of these are HDR.
Right.
In this link, done well.
Right.
In an environment that does call for it as well.
Right.
So you got kudos for that. Now, Malcolm Fackender.
Yes.
Which I, Spotlight in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
www.spotlightinasia.com, could be .au, who I don't think he listens to the podcast, but he takes groups to Namibia, and you can go to this location with Malcolm.
Yes.
He's the loveliest guy.
He is, and he was there only earlier this year.
Exactly. Of all the people I've never met or ever talked to, or had so little correspondence with ever in my life, I think he's one of the loveliest people I've never talked to. But I'm told, he's a lovely guy.
Yep. He is a top guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's from your neck of the woods, isn't he?
He's the other side of Sydney. He's down south of Sydney.
Yeah, but yeah, in the big scale of the world, it's pretty close.
Yeah, well, if take Sydney traffic into account.
Yeah. But there are some lovely shots. It's a place I would love to go to with a mob.
Yeah, same.
Oh, it would be fabulous.
Yeah.
And then I came across this interesting project done in Spain from memory,
right.
Called Touchable Memories.
Okay.
Which in itself just sounds quite disgusting. alarm bells. I said, is no one looking over my shoulder what I'm Googling? You know, a bit of a make sure there's no, but it could sound one of those workplace alarms of the sites you're going to. But it's this project of using 3D printers to print out people's photographs from when they were young. Important family photos, but for people who have lost their sight.
Oh.
So they've lost their sight, so they can no longer look at these photos. They can remember them because they saw them when they were sighted.
Right.
But now they're going to print them out in 3D so they can feel them.
Right. Now, if I press this play button, is it going to play a video or is it just a slideshow?
Video.
Oh, well, I won't press the play button then.
You do it, we can all have a listen.
No, that's okay. I'll watch it later.
I was being facetious. But I thought how does 3D printing work in our visual medium?
Yeah, right.
In interesting ways, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can remember this image, but it's going to fade over time. That memory.
Yeah.
But this tactile way of just feeling the people again. Surely must flood that, bring that imagery straight back to you. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Then another Kickstarter project for an Italian brand of film called Farania, which ran for many, many years back in the day, but it's coming back to life. They've Kickstarted and gone beyond their $250,000 they need to get the business up and going again and dust off and clean up and remodel some of the machinery. And they're bringing back cine film, movie film, 120 film, 35mm film.
What?
Well, it's like the Impossible Project who did it for Polaroid. Yeah, they brought all that back, you know.
But hang on. You're telling me that this Kickstarter project is to build a factory to crank out film?
To get all the old machinery, everything back up and running again. And get the materials and get the whatever needs fixing fixed and start producing film again.
Wow.
So it's the resurgence, doesn't it? I mean, look at everything.
That's
like
a very low quantity of money that they were, that they were chasing.
Amount?
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Like, that doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, all they did was a kickstart, though, Bruce.
Yeah.
That's the name of the video.
Yeah, I know.
Kickstarter. But that just shows, you know, it's like vinyl records, you know? Everything's going back.
Man, I love vinyl.
Everything's old is new. See, I know people who love film.
Yeah.
I get it, but I see it. Mm. Yeah. Then I came across this video. It's a digital rev video.
Oh, okay.
Of fake versus pro.
Right.
Basically, they get this guy out of Scotland who's only ever shot with a point-and-shoot camera, and they try and train him up to pretend to be a pro.
Oh, okay.
And do a shoot and see if he gets found out. And I haven't watched the whole thing, but it looks like it could be a bit of fun.
Okay. How long does it run?
Not a clue, Bruce. Okay. I think it's about half an hour.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, so do it for the podcast now. That finishes up nicely.
Cool. I will be watching that later.
Lee, the fabulous filter people, have announced a polarizer with built-in warm-up filter.
Oh, okay.
So it's got like an 81A tonal range built into the polarizer.
Right.
So not only do you get all the advantages of polarizer, you also warm up the tones as well. So for your sunset shots and your late afternoon beach shots and all that sort of stuff, anytime you use, or if you're a really cool foggy day, you want to warm up the mood a bit.
Interesting.
Built-in warm-up filter.
That's interesting because one of the things that I love using a polarizer for, particularly on a sunny day, is to get really rich saturated blues.
Mm.
So it kind of is going in exactly the opposite direction.
If you're trying to get golden hour afternoon warm sun glow through the grassy fields with kids playing,
yep,
that's going to be a hell of a filter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the point being is they say, well, yeah, way the width of a lot of lenses these days, and so you can't stack two filters without vignetting or whatever.
Yeah.
So incorporating two very commonly used landscape filters in one, yep, as well kind of makes sense. Oh, well, that makes sense to me. So, yeah, I agreed with that. And then, oh, you got to look at this photograph. Under the heading I sent you, creepy little sitting baby.
Creepy little sitting baby. Okay, yep.
So here was this lovely article about, behind the scenes of this photo shot of this lovely pensive boy looking out a window and everything else. And the woman talking about how she got the photo and the emotive field behind it all. But all I could do was sit there and freak out at the creepy, creepy sitting little baby staring at them both.
Oh, in the circular mirror.
Yeah, can you see it?
Yeah.
Is that not freaky or what?
Yeah.
And you zoom in, there's not anyone, there's nothing there. But just the way the blankets, whatever, it looks like there's a head and an arm. It's sort of sitting up and looking over at them. And it happens to be looking in that direction at them. Right.
Wow.
It's just like doubly creepy.
Like something out of a horror movie.
I love this photo because it's pensive. The older boy is looking out the window. He's not too keen on the younger baby getting all the attention, but at the same time, he wants to break out on his own and not be with mom all the time. He is gazing outside with his breath in the cold glass, and you wonder, what is he thinking? Meanwhile, mom is holding the baby and watching him quietly. You can just see him in one of those many mirrors. It's a quiet moment with a lot of love and a little bit of tension. Yeah, the tension, because you've got this sweet feeling that the hairs at the back of your neck are going up because there's some phantom baby in the other mirror staring at you.
Because Chucky's looking for a butcher's knife.
It's the weirdest stuff seeing photos sometimes. Oh, there was me already for a lovely pensive photo. But then it's creepy kid. Anyway, excellent. So I've only got a couple more things and I'm done, so it's going to be a short cast this week, which is good because I'm tired. I haven't spent a lot of time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
How to photograph a wedding in low light. So for all you budding people out there wanting to start doing weddings, but you've been a bit, oh, I don't know, I don't know if I've got the skills. Sorted. Sorted, guys. 5 steps, done and dusted, get out there selling. Step number one for photographing a wedding in low light. Find a window.
And throw yourself out of it.
Go up the elevator to the 30th floor. Find a window. No, that's open. Pick an old building. The window's open. Find a window. Well, that helps if there's lots of light outside.
Yeah.
And there's not much light in. But what if there's low light outside as well?
Yes.
Not the most useful. And what if that's not where she's getting ready?
Yeah.
For all the other myriad of things that go on. But, you know. Step number two, get a tripod. It's going to help, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, make those low light conditions so much prettier in the photo. Step number three, use a flash. Low light, gone. Lots of light everywhere. Watch that ride. Hello. Lovely.
Because let's face it, if you're following this list about how to shoot a wedding, you've probably got flash all done and dusted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You nailed it. Every shot, perfect exposure, bad stuff. So step number four, if you haven't quite got your flash done and dusted and totally sorted, step number four will help you. Hold your breath. I you not. Hold your breath.
And don't stop holding it until we tell you.
Such a speed. And you don't have said number two item, tripod, and you're holding your, then hold your breath. That will help keep you steadier and therefore your camera slightly steadier. Or you could just use high ISO, get a decent shutter speed and be done with it.
Yeah.
Step number five, just shoot silhouettes. Well, that's going
to
help.
The bride and groom will be absolutely stoked to get an album full of silhouettes.
Absolutely. The good thing is, no, it, you know, it's just on reflection. It's not as silly as it seems, now you mention it. Because, you know, if they happen to go their own separate ways and they remarry, right? No, they'd have to go to the expense of a new wedding.
That's right.
They've already got the album. Just go to the same place. And no one will be the wiser. As long as you're both roughly the same body shape you were in the first series.
Yeah.
Second series or third, and you spend so many times you get married. So I reckon that should cover it. Yeah. Let's just recap. So we're not, you know, we don't want to rush over these important things.
No.
Find a window, hit it with a tripod, slash yourself in the eye so you can't see what you're doing. Hold your breath and leap out the window. It's not so much a silhouette, but like a chalk outline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we'll put that one to bed. That's
where
well done.
On earth did
we
you
hope
find
you
that?
You enjoy your wedding, your first, possibly last wedding you shoot.
Where did you find that list?
Oh, I don't want to say the site because it's mean. Because I go, it's my mind I go to often for my five steps. I don't want to get in wind that I'm, you know.
Right.
Look, I love the fact that they want to help. In all genuineness.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it'd be like me compiling a list, trying to be helpful to get people started in being a motor mechanic. Buy some spanners.
You could do it with audio, though.
Get a workshop.
how to do noiseless audio recording. Close the door. Pull down the window.
Get the microphone closer to the source of the...
People to stop talking. Move away from the noisy car. You could do it, Bruce.
Yeah.
You should do it. Then somebody on an audio podcast, someone could take the piss out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Canon put a patent out for a 2mm 1.4 lens.
2mm?
A 2mm 1.4. Now,
hang on. To shoot on what sensor?
Oh, you have to be a party pooper, don't you? You have to step in there with your great size 12 feet, probably aren't size 10s, compensating. Wear size 12s to make yourself feel bigger. Stomp all over it. Oh, well, what about the sensor? You tech nerds do my head in. Can't we drone for a few minutes? Just 30 seconds. Oh, wouldn't a 2mm be awesome? I'd be able to photograph the back of my head and see if I'm going bald. You know?
Well, yeah, but it's a valid question.
Yeah, but enjoy it for a few minutes. Allow yourself to reach those lofty heights before you pull it all tumbling down right. to the chalk outline next to the guy from the wedding.
Okay.
I'd say for a very small sensor.
Yes.
Apparently, I think it's for an action cam. So it sounds like maybe Canon's going to go to the action cam world.
Oh, as in like a GoPro knockoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And speaking of GoPro, you bring up my last item on the list.
Yeah.
There's a new mount I saw. I call it the "How quickly will you wedge this between two trees?" GoPro mount.
It sounds promising.
I insist you look at it. The link I sent through.
Okay. Okay. So it looks like I've got to. Oh, what is that?
It's a GoPro mount.
Oh, you're kidding! Oh my goodness. For those who have not yet gone to the page to look at it, this thing's like a 4 foot wide bar that you mount across the top of your bicycle helmet, so it sticks out 2 feet either side of you.
Yep.
That looks like
mountain biker guys are good, and there's really narrow trails.
That looks like a recipe for disaster.
Don't it just? Because you're never going to remember that's on there.
Yeah.
You're in the heat of the moment. Oh, go this path. Bang. All of a sudden you're on your ass.
While we're talking about GoPros, did you see the footage through the week shot in Arizona at Pinnacle Peak?
No.
Okay, so a photography company who do, you know, aerial photography commercially sent up a drone with a brand new GoPro 4 on it. And Pinnacle Peak is one of those, you know, like Death Valley, those rock spikes that just go straight. Yeah, right. So they're flying the drone around, like trying to circumnavigate this massive column of rock.
Cool.
What do you think would happen to the radio signal when the drone gets out of sight?
Oh.
It loses contact with the home base and thinks, I better go home. So it flies straight into the pillar of rock and promptly falls about 500 feet to the ground.
Now I'm loving that.
I'll have to, I'll see if I can find you the...
Put that in the link.
Yeah, it's awesome footage. Awesome footage.
Can I just say that the poll we're talking about is like another Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
They wanted $5,000
right.
to get the goal. They're at $24,000 with 11 days to go. So they're five times over budget, over wow. backing.
Wow. It's crazy.
It's just, I should just see... I mean, we just talked about last week about Michael Schumacher and the potential that his mount caused part of the severity of the injury.
Yep.
This could cause more than that. but you have great footage of it happening, though, because the camera's pointing at your head as you're suddenly being launched backwards off your side and sliding down between two trees.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be highly amusing. I'm looking forward to seeing the outtakes on those videos anyway.
I've just sent you the link for that Arizona footage.
Oh, I'll have a little look-see at that for sure.
It only goes for a minute, so.
Oh, that's right. So,
excellent.
There's nothing wrong. No, I'm not going to go there.
All right, mate. Well, good to chat with you again.
All about duration. That's all I'm saying.
That's
all
it.
About duration. And it was lovely. We were a bit light on this week because it was only a few days since we last recorded. We are recording early this week.
Yes.
Before we go off, we should talk about our amazing response to our film project.
I didn't want to bring that up. I was really hoping we'd have had 36 people that would have been happy to put their hand up.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. How many have we got?
Oh, about 11.
That's pretty good. I thought we had two. So
we're a third of the way, man.
Yeah, but it's only 2 days since the podcast came out. Not everyone listens straight away. Oh, I know we're
point.
Awesome.
That's a good
people
point.
People would like to listen the second we put it out. But let's face it. We're probably like, remember that list of 16 best photography podcasts? We're probably 18th on their list. They've probably got like 20 to listen to, and they listen to us on the 18th.
Right.
That's
possible.
Yeah, but... All I'm gonna say to you, but it's more than I expect. I'm gonna say,
right,
at least 11. But if Melena Pfeiffer's not on that list,
mm-hmm.
girl, you better just get yourself onto Facebook and get yourself on that list because we're sending her a camera whether she joins up or not.
Right,
might have to stalk her to get her. Remember Melena?
Yeah,
call her Melanie before Melena. Yeah, Michelle's sister.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
she's has to send it from whatever neck of the woods she's in at the moment.
Right,
fabulous,
excellent. So,
and I thought we had a listener from Bogota, Colombia.
And did we?
I don't know, but if we do,
right,
get on the list. I'd like to send a camera to Bogota and see what comes back and
see if it comes back packed with cocaine.
Yeah, there we go. So at least maybe we can share a cell, though, Bruce. Yeah. We can podcast out of the cell.
Yeah.
Anyway, so once again, we haven't filled up our list of people yet, so jump on board and we'd love to send you a camera. So.
What we should do is say that we will kick this project off, I don't know, let's say 3 weeks from now.
December 12th.
That'll give us time to... Oh, that's... No, that's way too far off.
Is it?
Yeah, because we're still in October. I'm thinking middle of November, we will... I'll go and get a camera and we'll start it off then. That way we've got a couple of weeks to generate some more interest, get more people to actually hear that this thing is happening.
Yeah.
And then mid-November we'll get it up and rolling.
Good stuff.
Sounds good. All right.
So, yeah, and we just passed another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's like a bonus.
It's another 2 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
Never get back, yeah.
All right, mate, you have a good week.
See you, mate.
See ya.
Bye. Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.